our topic for today is the Great Stagnation. Let's start with what you mean by the Great Stagnation, and then we'll move on to your explanation for it. But when you talk about the Great Stagnation, what phenomenon or phenomena are you referring to?
If we look at the earlier part of the 20th century, the standard of living for the average family increased very rapidly. If we compare, say, a 40-year period, 1917 to 1957, people are getting electricity, flush toilets, automobiles. There are very rapid increases in the standard of living. If we look at the same data or the anecdotes post-1973, there's a slowdown in growth in living standards for the average person or the average family. And that's what I mean when I refer to the Great Stagnation. My grandmother saw a lot more change in her life than I have in mine.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that, obviously, but I'm also a little bit of a skeptic. So one thought is that in the 1917 to 1957 period, of course, there was an immense amount of ups and downs. We had a world war. We had a depression. And yet, as you point out, at the end of that period, standard of living in 57 was much, much different, very dramatically different than in 1917. The 1973 cutoff, though, I find a little bit strange. So if we look at, say, the post-war period, post-World War II, let's go 46 to 73, as you do in the book, and then 73 onward. Talk about the distinctions there. What do we see there?
If you look at median income, median family income since 1973, it doesn't even double. There are different ways of measuring it. Under one plausible estimate, from 73 to 2004, it's only gone up 20 to 30%. In the last decade, it's actually declined. There has not been net jobs growth in the last decade. So one can think of the stagnation as coming in phases with different starting points for different parts of it. Let's consider education. From 1900 to 1960, rates of graduating from high school went from very low to 60%. The rate has stagnated now for several decades, and it's actually declining. So when it comes to education, which is a big part of our economy, labor accounts for almost 70% of economic output. It's not obvious we're really doing better, at least at the K through 12 level. If anything, it seems we may be moving backwards.
Well, there's some change in the data on completing high school, but of course, proportion of Americans attending college and finishing college has gone up dramatically over, if you go back to the 1946, say, right?
But it hasn't lately. It's stagnated again.
It's also stagnated.
That's right.
I would also worry about what people study. I think that's a separate question.
Sure. But,
let's talk about a little bit about the data, because the data are a little bit tricky. In particular, you talk about median income, and the reason we do usually look at median income is as opposed to, say, mean income. Mean income would be the average, and that would include very high-income people who would pull the average up and would not represent the typical American, which is what you're really talking about, mass affluence, and it's the slowdown in the growth of that affluence in the, say, from the 70s onward. If we look at the actual median income then, which would seem to be better than mean for that reason, there's still some problems with the median. The most obvious few, I'd like to get your reaction. I know you've written a little bit about it in the book, and also you've blogged about it, on it at Marginal Revolution. But let's take – there's three or four I want to look at. First, there's the measurement of the price level. So when you're comparing income in 1995 to 1973 or 1973 to 1946, you have a problem, which is you're measuring it in nominal dollars. You don't want to look at that, obviously. You want to deflate it because what we're interested in is purchasing power. So when we're trying to assess purchasing power, we're going to inevitably struggle with how we define
sure.
the price index. So why do you think – a lot of people argue, I'm one of them, that the price index is not well measured. In particular, it may understate – it may be overstated. Therefore, it understates the growth in income. So what's your assessment of that?
There are some biases in how we measure inflation, but if we look at people who have studied, when are those biases most likely to be large, very large? Those biases will be largest in periods when you have fundamentally new goods entering the marketplace and spreading. And again, think back to radio or flush toilet or electricity. So we may well be over-measuring inflation throughout all of history. But if we were to have correct measurements, the indication is that the growth gap between early periods and later periods would in fact be bigger than we're currently measuring, not smaller.